The plan, as you know, many of you, is a Pilgrim's Progress service. So it's a little bit different. We're going through the book because it's so Bible and so helpful. I hope you agree and find it so this evening. The theme this evening is the persecuted church. So we'll spend time thinking about the Christian and faithful's experience and our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering. There'll be a time of open prayer as well as we hone in on what it is to be a follower of Christ under pressure. I'm just going to read a couple of passages, starting with Matthew 5, if you want to follow along. So we're going to start with a short passage in Matthew 5 and then some verses from 1 Peter before we spend a few minutes in prayer. So Matthew chapter 5, page 970 in the church Bibles, verse 43. This is our Lord speaking. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Praise God. Challenging words, aren't they? Truly challenging. 1 Peter 3. So head right to the end in these little letters just before 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, before 2 Peter. It's page 1219 in the church Bibles. So 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 8 to 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. We'll stop there. Again, it's just so countercultural, isn't it? People of the gospel are different. Christians should stand out in an outstanding way in this world. If we adopt the likeness and grow into the likeness of Christ, not repaying evil with evil, insult with insult, but instead with a gentleness, a love, and a peace that God has everything covered, is the way we're able to live like this, isn't it? Trusting the sovereignty of God. Let's pray for ourselves. Father, thank you we can gather this evening. What a joy to be with your people. That the sun is out, but we're in here because this is more important. Because time before you, together, is the best time we could use. So we pray, Lord, that you would bless us and help us, encourage us and minister by your Spirit to our lives this evening. Pray, Lord, that you would lift the downhearted, those of us, Lord, who are particularly troubled. Pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Give us a wonderful view again of you. Give us a lovely view of Christ and the grace and the love towards us in him. We pray, Lord, for those not able to be here, for those who are struggling, stuck at home through illness or old age. Father, we do pray that you would be comforting them. Pray that you would draw close to those who are finding life really hard. And we pray, Lord, that we would entrust our lives to you. Not just in the moment, but we would live in the place of trust in you. Forgive us, Lord, the times where we haven't kept your word as we've just read, where we've snapped back, where we've been aggressive, perhaps, where we've thought things about other people. Lord, we are sinners through and through. We thank you for forgiveness. And we thank you for sanctification. We praise you that you grow us. As we were thinking this morning, you are about the work of transforming us more and more. We long for that, and we pray that we would really do all we can, Lord, for you to be at work in us. So help us, we pray, to grow in this very important area of trusting you in a world that is hostile to you. Lord, give us boldness as well to stand for you when there's gossip and slander, when there's talk that is cheap, demeaning. Pray for the right note to be able to not seem smug and better than others, but to graciously, gently be ready with an answer. Father, we want to live lives that glorify you. So help us, we pray. Help us now as we think about the difficulty and the difference between the light and the darkness. Pray, Lord, you minister to us and help us that we might honour you in our hearts and minds and be helped to worship you in every aspect of our lives. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. Picture yourself. Oh, sorry, picture yourself. Picture John Bunyan in the woods. And he's holding a secret meeting. And he's preaching. And he's preaching passionately to a gathering who have themselves made their way stealthily, secretly, to hear God's word faithfully preached. Bunyan did this on many occasions because he was barred from preaching in churches. He was one of the dissenters, those who separated themselves from the state-controlled church of England. And it was because their ceremonies and practices were becoming a little bit too much and similar to the Catholics. And there were a few other reasons as well. When Charles II was restored to the throne this was following the Civil War, Oliver Cromwell, England, and so on. He brought with him a reign of terror, really, on the dissenters. They were, some of them, stripped of property, put into prison, even put to death as well. John Bunyan was one who was put in prison. He was arrested on the 12th of November 1660 and put into jail in Bedford. At his trial, he was found guilty of not submitting to the state church, and he was locked up for 3 months. After those 3 months, he must submit to the church, to leave his preaching, or be banished, or worse. Bunyan responded, you know what he's going to say, don't you? If I were out of prison today, I would preach the gospel again tomorrow by the help of God. His refusal to comply meant his 3 months was stretched for a total of 12 years. Bunyan was a man who knew about suffering. He knew firsthand of the injustice of the godless of this world. During time in jail, his wife and the mother of their 4 children died. From behind bars was birthed this book. It was the prison walls, really, that opened the door to such a helpful work, which can be found in libraries all over the world today. 200 different languages, printed, reprinted many times. And this backdrop to Bunyan's life helps us as we return this evening to Vanity Fair, which Christian and Faithful, well, Christian, let's stick with, has got to via many things. So there's a picture of some of the things he's been through, leaving the city of destruction, through the swamp of despair, an arrow up Mount Sinai following law, through the wicket gate, just interpreter's house. He saw many wonderful things and learnt such wisdom. Came to the cross, his burden rolled off his back. What a passage that is. He went up the hill of difficulty because Christians do. They push through with Christ's help. Others went off, didn't they, at this point. Palace Beautiful, the picture of the church, again, was a wonderful time of equipping. A bit like the first song, get your armour on. They went to the armoury in the palace, didn't they? And he was refreshed. And it was much needed because 2 valleys came. Humiliation, and the picture of the battle with the devil himself, Apollyon, is very vivid, Bunyan makes. And in the valley of the shadow of death. Such strong pictures, helpful pictures of the Christian walk. It was through those, they came and met Faithful, coming out of the valley. And you think, well, a bit of a breather, but straight into Vanity Fair, really. After a chat with Evangelist, which was a much helpful, very helpful chat, much needed. And so they are in Vanity Fair. And we didn't get through, it's part two, we didn't get through Vanity Fair last time because Christian and his friend Faithful didn't get through quickly or easily. Vanity Fair is so named by Bunyan because it had a fair going 24/7. And again, it's just another picture from Bunyan, this time of the world that is so attractive in so many ways, but that is godless nothingness. That is the world controlled by Satan. He's the influencer of influences. He hates the light. He loves the darkness. And Christian and Faithful had to pass through this as we do. As they pass through, just by looking differently, the robes of righteousness Bunyan talks about, by speaking in a different manner with the language of heaven, by valuing things in a different manner, so they weren't interested in the things on offer. Their aim was going to get through. Christian and faithful found themselves jeered at, questioned first really, then jeered at, mocked and hated. The very fact they didn't want to buy and they didn't want anything to do with the things of the world caused offense. And they said things like, well, we buy the truth. That's all we're interested in. And a riot started. They were being tossed about. And so the authorities came and grabbed them and accused them of disturbing the peace. And they made an example of them by locking them in a cage in the public square so all the town people could do as they wished. And they did. And what was so arresting, though, is not the violence towards them. That's horrendous and horrible and disgusting. But it was, in the passages we read, it was the patient endurance of Christian and faithful. So Bunyan says, they repaid insult with blessing. Good words for bad. Kindness for injuries done to them. And their conduct under this trial, of course, didn't go unnoticed. Some in the crowd noticed and sort of said to others, well, hang on, let's ease up a bit and so on. And this went on and a division came among the crowd, causing another riot. So crazy is the world, the point Bunyan makes. Again, they were taken out. This time, they were dragged through the town streets as a warning to others to try and just get everyone on board. But through this, they continued, Bunyan says, to behave quietly and wisely. They received the humiliation and shame thrown at them with patience and meekness, that it won over some people of the fair, which in turn put others in such a rage that they decided to push that these men must die. And this is what the world will do with Christians who insist on their principles, who live according to the word. Now, we have freedoms in this country, and we have for many years, and we're thankful, aren't we? And we pray, don't we, that continues to be the case. Intolerance to Christianity is growing, though. There are things, aren't there, in law and bills made and trying to get through law at different times that would squeeze the gospel preaching, conversions. So we may be in the beginning stages of difficult days, even in this land. If that is the case, as we read, we do not need to fear, nor ought we be surprised. Our Lord told us this would be the case. As Christian and faithful awaited trial, they'd been through so much already, they remember, Bunyan says, evangelist's word that one of them would die. And Bunyan writes that they secretly wished it would be them that went to be with their Lord. He writes, they trusted themselves to the one who rules all things, knowing that to live is Christ, to die is gain. So they waited contentedly. The day of the trial came for them, presided over by the judge. And Bunyan's names, as we're going to see in this section, are terrible, wonderful, clear. His name is Lord Hategood. He was the opposite of what a judge should be. He hated right. He loved wrong. Because he did wrong himself. Come back to this theme. Christian and faithful stood for what was right and were good. And so the judge hated the very sight of them. He'd already made up his mind they'd be found guilty. Lord, Hapgood did the opposite of what God told people to do in the Bible in Amos 5 verse 15. Hate what is evil, love what is right. See that justice prevails in the courts. The charges were put to the men, enemies to, and disturbers of the trade and of the town. Charges include creating disturbances and divisions within the town, including winning people over to dangerous opinions and contempt of their own prince, their prince being Beelzebub. Faithful gave an opening defense, saying, I'm only against that which sets itself against him who is higher than the highest. I have to be. And I'm fine to be against that which is against God. I can do no other. As for disturbing, he says, we didn't disturb. We're men of peace. Those who came to our side did so because they saw our truth and innocence. And they've turned from the worst to the better. So he's sort of saying it's benefited them. And it wasn't anything we did. It was actually what you did to us. And they saw our reaction and response. Didn't quite say it like this, but you've created the problem. Really. And then he said as well, as for your prince Beelzebub, he's an enemy of our Lord. So Faithful said, I defy him and his angels. And really, at this point, Faithful emerges. He takes the lead with a God-glorifying clarity and boldness, courage. The call is made for witnesses, and three come forward, their names being Envy, Superstition, and Flatterer. And Envy begins, and he says, I've known this man, Faithful, for a while. He's disloyal. He's opposed to us. I've heard him say that his Lord and our ways are completely opposite. So again, Bunyan reminding us there's no fellowship between the light and the dark. What fellowship can there be? It cannot be. Between believer and unbeliever. The kingdom of God and a darkness. Envy's right. So said Envy. He condemns our doings and us in the doing of them. He condemns what we do, therefore he condemns us in personal. And that's the Christian experience. The world will be offended by our views of the world. If an unbeliever challenges or directs with you, Christian, on our views about particularly certain things today, you will cause offense. There's no avoiding it. The world will hate being told by Christians that what it's doing is sinful, even though the message is correct. That's the problem. So today, many people claim and hail the importance of free speech, but with the exception of Christian freedom. And of course, there's a real cancel culture towards Christians who say homosexuality is wrong. That sex outside marriage is wrong. That gender fluidity is wrong. That abortion is a heinous sin. It drives some people, the anti-God people, mad. Drives them to anger, even violence. That we condemn their doing, and of course, them in the doing of it. superstition comes next as a witness takes the stand and he says, this man's a nuisance. The other day I heard him say that our religion is worthless and we can't please God with our religion. That it gets us nowhere and actually even condemns us. So he's superstition is sort of saying, this guy's making us feel bad. He's trying to wake us from our delusions of false religion. Again, notice how easy it is to upset the world. Just hold to the truth that Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to God. It's pretty much the quickest way to upset people, isn't it? In some parts of the world, it will just get a mob on your back straight away. The third witness, flatterer, begins with a bit of flattery, of course, of judge, hate good. And he said, I've heard things said which should not be said. This man has been speaking in ways that's not right. And again, just pause for a moment. The issue, the contradiction of free speech, the world says we love it. But people don't when Christians speak. Because Christianity flourishes where there is free speech. Why? Because it's the truth. Christians don't force people to speak a certain way. But when the truth is heard, by the power of God's word, it changes people. That's why the anti-Christian world tries to silence Christians. It's why there's this real tug of war on wanting free speech, but only for those they want to have it. Flatterer continues. This one has spoken against our prince Beelzebub in contempt of the honourable lords of our town as well. And listen to the names Bunyan uses for the lords, the dignitaries of their town. Lord Old Man, Lord Carnal Delight, Lord Luxurious, Lord Desire of Vain Glory, Lord Lustful, and Sir Greedy. He lists these men and he says, this man faithful says, our lords and sirs and dignitaries are not fit to lead. And dare I say, you, Lord, hate good. I heard him ranting and raving about you as well, calling you an ugly scoundrel and many other scandalous things. Lord, hate good, turn to faithful, spitting out his words, you deserter, you heretic, you traitor. You hear what these honest men say. You deserve to live no longer. But since we're gentle and to show how kind we are, let's give you a chance to answer these accusations, you vile deserter. Recently, a Canadian pastor was in court in Canada and then put in jail. Why? He protested about drag shows for children in public libraries. Third time it's happened to him. He's protested. It's not right. He's been taken to court and he's been put in jail. Well, Faithful gives his response first to Mr. Envy, the first witness. And he said, I never said anything like this. That any laws, rules, customs, people which are against the word of God are opposed to Christianity. So he takes the tone of, he takes Envy to task of the way he said things, but his tone has been that I'm not coming after you as such. It's not I don't like you. you know, and your religion, I'm just saying, and this is just a true saying, that the word of God is the rule of my life, and yes, we are on different sides of the fence. So you're right, we are opposed to each other. As to the second charge, Faithful says, faith is required to worship God. There's no faith without divine revelation. So any worship that does not come from divine revelation must be man-made and cannot lead to eternal life. So saying worship, so the accusation is our religion is no good. And he's saying, well, yeah, because worship has to be done through the regulative principle of the word. We worship only through the one who tells us how to worship. You think Old Testament, Nadab and Abihu, God says, this is how you are to worship. They break it and it's not good. Thirdly, Faithful turns to flatterer's accusation and says, I didn't rant and rave in the way you described, but it is true. The dignitaries of this town are not fit to rule. They're more fit for hell than to lead this town. Throughout the trial, Faithful is bold, but he's not overbearing. He is sober, but he's strong. In his confession of where he stands in Christ and the sinfulness of the world. Lord Hategood calls the jury to a decision, but first he reminds them of the law, advises them to condemn Faithful, referring to past laws, including, he says to them, remember the one by Pharaoh who made the decision to prevent a certain people and religion from getting too strong. He cites that decision and law by Pharaoh. That's disgusting, isn't it? Also, he says, do not forget Nebuchadnezzar regulating worship of the people through the fiery furnace. And don't forget Darius. He kept the lion's den to keep law and order. He cites these three obvious displays of terrible injustice, and Bunyan's point being how wicked the world is to come to such decisions, to call them right and good judgments. But the madness is still happening today. It's in our world today. If we were in North Korea right now, the authorities would not be on your side, Christian. You would be seen as an enemy. We would be discriminated against, perhaps killed. Constant pressure on Christians in parts of the world. So Afghanistan, the Taliban are out for those looking to kill apostates from Islam. If you're a Christian in Afghanistan, particularly if you've left Islam and following Christ, you're in the firing line, literally. In Pakistan, also, the country has just amended the blasphemy law, which again is a horrendous thing, isn't it? We've seen cases over recent years, just two or three people lying about a Christian can have someone even executed. But they've increased the punishment from 3 to 10 years imprisonment for blasphemy, anything against Islam. Back to the court scene, the jury. Well, the picture says it all, doesn't it? Terrible bunch. But let me give you the names. Children, you can spot perhaps the jury on the right-hand side there. The artist has done a reasonable effort to replicate the face. One is called Mr. Blind Man, Mr. No Good, Mr. Malice, Mr. Love Lust, Mr. Live Loose, Mr. Hatred, Mr. Trivial, Mr. High Mind, Mr. Cruelty, Mr. Hate Light, Mr. Merciless. And the jury has won, condemn Faithful, guilty, they say. Blind Man says, I see clearly. Ha ha ha. He's a heretic. And the dig of courses as well to Christ, isn't it? Blind guides, they're called, aren't they, the Pharisees? What an awful thing to be a blind guide. Mr. Malice says, I hate the look of him. He would, wouldn't he? Mr. No Good says, rid the earth of him. He's always condemning me. A liar he is, says Mr. Rogue. On and on come the comments from the jury. And they're aimed, Bunyan makes this clear, to suit and fit how they want to live in order that they may sin freely without question. Of course, that's true, isn't it? Rid the world of the faithfuls of the world. And my mind is at a little bit more ease. I've got nobody telling me and preaching at me and reminding me of my sin. Darkness is so twisted and biased to the light. Loves the dark. Loves to stay in the dark. Hates exposure. Hates light. Sin does. So you want to discuss abortion in our culture today? You want to go on the radio and have a chat? Well, people won't even discuss it, will they? It's not even on the table to talk about. People willing to take a life in order to live the life they want to have in pursuit of my version of morality. It was decided Faithful was to be put to death. He was brought out, he was whipped, beaten, they threw things at him, more things were done, I won't say, tied to a stake. And thus, Faithful came to his end. And many have, and many do today still. Five recently killed in Myanmar, professing believers. 15 in the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. In Spain, a church officer was killed, a minister seriously injured in a recent attack. Let's just think for a minute. Could this be your end? We pray not, don't we, of course. Is it beyond the realms of possibility? And more importantly, we really need to answer for ourselves, could we stand for Christ? Would you give your life by standing alongside Christ, if it came to it? If you've actually never answered that question in your mind, if you've never imagined a scenario, and I've done this a number of times, what if right now an Islamist came in, guns blazing? What would you do? I think you need to think about that. You should be ready if ever the day comes. We should. We should stand now, as the readings we heard earlier, gentleness and love in the smaller things. Stand up to gossip. Well, that's pretty hard, isn't it, sometimes? Stand up to godless talk. Again, with gentleness and love. Fearlessness. We do not need to be afraid of man. We do not. We have Christ on our side. But with gentleness, sincerity, boldness, speaking the truth in love. And if you've never resolved, you know, like Daniel did, resolved, so for when the moment came, he's ready, isn't he, to stand in all things for Christ, do so now. Do so in your mind and heart. Resolve in your life, I'm speaking to myself, of course, as well, not to be a people pleaser. It didn't lead anywhere good. Not for your own pride, not for them, certainly not for the Lord. But resolve to be someone who pleases the Lord. Resolve to stand today, tomorrow, at school, work, wherever it is. If you don't, you want no chance when the big stuff comes, if it comes. We should stand because we're not alone. We should stand because we don't need to stand in our own strength. We stand in Christ. If your end was to be like Faithful's, would it be? Honestly, in your heart and mind, what would you do if you were Faithful then? So Faithful comes to his end, or we may say he came to the beginning. Bunyan says, through the crowd and the smoke, I saw horses and a chariot waiting for him. He says, as soon as the opponents had done with him and he had died, I saw him taken up into the clouds. A sound of the trumpet into the celestial kingdom. And in that moment, Faithful became more alive than ever he had. Praise the Lord. As for Christian, he was put back in jail. But Bunyan writes, he who overrules all things, having the power of their rage in his hands. Just pause there. That is a phrase and a half, isn't it? On the sovereignty of God. In the midst of affliction, God has all things, including the rage of the enemy, in his hands. Which means nothing happens to a Christian that is not of God's decree. And that is immense comfort. Life-changing. Spurgeon says the sovereignty of God is the pillow on which the Christian lays their head. He says, I learned to kiss the wave that thrusts me against the rock of ages. If God have me be a trampled rose in the wake of Christ, so be it. Christian, in the story, with the help of a few who had been impressed with the pilgrim's trial and all that happened, they help Christian escape. Among them is one called Hopeful, who joined Christian on his journey. And so they left the town of Vanity Fair and went on their way. We'll pick up next time.